So let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we'll start with verse number 29. Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 29. And if you found, that kind of took you off guard here a little bit this morning. You looked in your bulletin, you said, well, I'll just turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And no, Luke chapter 19. Verse 29. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Luke 19, verse 29. Actually, let's start with 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead, went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I come to you here this morning just asking that this message will fall on the ears that it needs to fall upon. And Father, I ask that you direct my words here this morning, that they will be words that are pleasing to you. As always, I stand behind the cross and just ask, Lord, that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you. And Father, if today is the day of salvation for someone in here or someone listening to this message later on down the road, I praise you for that, Lord, because it is your word that convicts, certainly not mine. So I turn this over to you, and I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. The triumphal entry, as it is called, here in Luke chapter 19. You will find this exact same story in all four of the Gospels. Each one has a little bit of a different flavor to it. Matthew and Mark are very similar, as is Luke. John is a little bit different. Luke includes the part where Jesus is lamenting over the city afterwards, and he prophesizes about the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. We know what happens here. This is the final week of the life of Jesus. Did you know that if you look at all four of the Gospels, 33% of the material that's in the four Gospels addresses the last week of the life of Jesus? Not that the other events were not important. Certainly they are. But there's something important about this last week, which starts at the triumphal entry and goes all the way up through the crucifixion, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming into the city. He's coming into Jerusalem. And the analogy I want to make here this morning is this. Jesus rides into everybody's life at some point in time. He rides into mine. He has ridden into yours. And he comes and he goes. And the thing about it is, my friends, is this. You have to do something with him. You can't ignore him. He's going to come in. And in this case, he comes into Jerusalem sitting on a donkey. But he has come into your life and to my life in a certain way. And I ask, what have you done with Jesus? Jesus doesn't go away, no matter how much you might want him to. We're going to look at three different ways of looking at this. Three different ways that people looked at it then, and compare that to how people can look at Jesus today. Remember, he's very real. And you and I have to do something with him. And those decisions are made, and you need to make sure you do the right thing with him if you want to spend eternity in heaven with him. Let's look at the first group. The first group are the people who just want to have an absentee Jesus. Now, what do I mean by an absentee Jesus? They don't want no parts of him. They want him to just stay out of their life. If you turn, you don't have to turn. I'm just going to read John chapter 12, verse 19 for you. I think this is part of what Greg had read earlier. John chapter 12, verse 19. Here's what some people thought about Jesus. They said this. These are the Pharisees talking. They say, so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. And then, of course, back in Luke, what we read earlier, back in Luke chapter 19, the Pharisees tell Jesus, hey, tell your disciples to keep quiet. These people, they want an absentee Jesus. They don't want any parts of him. They don't want him part of their life. Why? Because Jesus holds you and I accountable to truth. Some people don't want to hear truth. Some people just want to dismiss it. So they want an absentee Jesus. Hey, Jesus, just go away. So when Jesus starts riding into their life, the decision that they make is this. I don't want no parts of you. No parts of you, Jesus. As a matter of fact, it would be better if you would just die and go away. Actually, that's kind of what happens to him a few days later, isn't it? Jesus dies. These people here, the absentee, they want an absentee Jesus. They would rather just crucify Jesus and put him to death. Put him away where they know that he just won't bother them anymore. That's what these people wanted to do. Of all people, it wasn't the tax collectors. It wasn't the sinners. It was the religious leaders. The people who thought they knew God. They thought they knew God, and they certainly didn't want no parts of his son, Jesus. Let's nail him to a cross. That way there we get rid of him for good. And then he won't disrupt our lives the way we have it right now. Is that you? Do you want an absentee Jesus where you just hope and pray he goes away? And you just throw him away somewhere else? You hope he just dies? Or maybe you're part of the second group. They want the convenient Jesus. Now, who are these people? Well, these people are the ones who, when Jesus rides into town in the morning, on that day there into Jerusalem, they're the ones that put their cloaks down. Oh, praise Jesus. Yes, here he comes. He's the miracle worker. He did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. Let's put our cloaks down in front of him so he can walk over those. And let's take the palm branches and wave them. And let's say, Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Son of David. He's coming on in. But these people only want a convenient Jesus. You see, they want the Jesus that did all the miracles. They want all the stuff. And when Jesus rides in and all of a sudden he doesn't take over like they thought he was going to take over, because they wanted a Savior who was going to be a Messiah, who was going to be a military ruler and rule everything. Yeah, we want to be on his side. But when they find out that that's not who this person is, all of a sudden they don't want him anymore. They just want someone who's convenient. You see, while he's doing the good stuff, I'll wave my palm branches, yeah, and I will shout Hosanna, which means save now. And the comparison to today's people, yes, I'll go to church on Sunday as long as Jesus gives me what I want, because they just want a convenient Jesus. But as the week moves on, and as they find out that their prayers aren't answered, and this Messiah isn't the one that they thought he was supposed to be, well, then hearts start changing. You see, they don't get what they want. They wanted a convenient Jesus. And he's not living up to that anymore. And so these people, they just say, well, maybe he wasn't what I thought he was. Oh, they were all for him, weren't they, at one time? Yeah, let's wave the palm branches and let's shout the hosannas. But what happens? One of two things happen with these convenient people who want the convenient Jesus. One, Jesus doesn't come through with what they want. Or two, which sometimes is even worse, they listen to other people. They listen to their leaders. They can't make a decision on their own. So what are the leaders saying? What are our religious leaders saying? And our religious leaders are saying that we need to crucify this guy. Okay, well, that's the bandwagon that I'm going to jump on. The people who want a convenient Jesus can't make decisions on their own sometimes. And they listen to other people. People who they think are making wise decisions for them. How many people today are following leaders who are making very poor decisions for their people? And the people are just sitting there, whatever you say, whatever you say. Because they're sheep who can't make decisions for themselves. Is that you? You just want a convenient Jesus who rides into your life and you just want him when you want him? Or maybe you're like the third group. They don't want an absentee Jesus. They don't want a convenient Jesus. They want a Savior Jesus, because that's who they know they need. They want someone who, when he rides into town, they are going to say, Hosanna to the Son of David. They are going to be the ones who are going to wave the palm branches. And they are going to be the ones who put their cloaks down. That's very similar to the second group. But you see, these people, they have it here. They know that there's something different about this Jesus, this man from Nazareth. They know that they're going to stick with him all the way to the end. Regardless of what happens, they're going to be there. They're going to be the ones that see him go throughout this week. They'll see him in the temple, turning over the money changers. They'll see him a little bit later on that week, hanging on a cross. But they don't give up, because they know that there's something different about this man. That he's just not convenient. That there's something about him, that he is the Savior. So am I not only going to follow him, not only through the good times and the bad times, and maybe I might not get everything I want, but there's just something about him. Maybe he is the Savior. And just perhaps, maybe that is what I need in my life. And even though he's hanging there on the cross, I'm going to stick around. Because I know something good is going to come out of this. And what happens when you have that attitude? Does something good happen because you stick around? Something very wonderful happens when you stick around, doesn't it? A couple days later, what happens? One day he's on a cross. A couple days later, he's rising from the dead. He's not dead. The grave can't hold him. And you're there because you knew you needed a Savior Jesus. And you know that all the stuff starts coming together. And you know that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And your life becomes changed. Because when Jesus rides into your life, you have a decision to make. Are you going to make the right one? Are you going to be like the Pharisees and the religious leaders who just say this? I don't need this guy. He's taken away my power and my popularity. And he's making me accountable. I don't want to be accountable to anybody. Is that you? You want an absentee Jesus? Just dismiss him and put him back on the cross then. Or you want that convenient Jesus. You just want him when you need him. You just pull him out of the bag when he's convenient. Or do you want a Savior Jesus? That when he comes into your life, you know this person is going to change something in me. Not because we want to change him, because you know that there's something in you that needs changed. I need a Savior. I need eternal life. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to be washed clean of all these things. Lord God, I led a pretty sinful life. Will you please take care of it for me? Trust me, Jesus rides into our life. And the question is, what's your attitude going to be? Because I don't know how many times he's going to ride in and out of your life. And today might be the last day and the last chance that you have. So which one are you going to be? You want an absentee Jesus? Oh, go away. Do you want a convenient Jesus? Oh, Jesus, I need you. Or do you want a Savior Jesus who says, I'm going to stick with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I promise I will forgive you of all your sins. Jesus is riding in, my friends, and you got a decision to make. And if you haven't made a decision, today's the day that you need to put a stake in the ground and say, today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day that I don't want a convenient Jesus. Today's the day I don't want an absentee Jesus. Today's the day that I want a Jesus who's going to save my sorry soul from my sorry sins. Today, I pray. If you haven't made a decision for Jesus, today is the day that you claim him as the Lord and Savior. Many find the road to destruction, but only few find the way that goes to eternal life. Are you one of the few? I pray that you are. Let's go to God in prayer.